Can you see wealth as love, as aliveness, as nourishment, nurture, source energy, creative life force?
Welcome to Wealth Embodied. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our innate abundance and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to embody the vibration of wealth while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our relationship with money so we can live our lives wealthy and aligned. Let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Wealth Embodied, where we activate and inspire you in your wealth consciousness, your visionary impact, and your creative genius. I'm your host, Alara Sage. I am the Oracle of Wealth, and I help women to embody what I call inexhaustible wealth. This is the reclamation of your innate state of wealth, innate state, that you are innately inexhaustible. Today, we're going to be talking about, can God and wealth coexist? Because this was definitely a challenging fence, is how I always saw it, for me. A push-pull that I personally experienced. So before I go into my story and the deeper facets of this conversation, I just want to define what wealth is, because in humanity, we often think of wealth as money, and money is one aspect of wealth. So can God and money coexist? Can God and wealth coexist? Wealth, from my perspective, is resource. And the experience of wealth in the human reality is all about relationship and the exchange that occurs in those relationships. So wealth, from my perspective, is quality of exchange, quality of relationship, and thus access to resource. And money is one of those aspects. And so I wanted to define that, because when I speak to wealth, I'm not just speaking to money, but I am speaking to money. And I want to throw back and forth in this conversation the word wealth and the word money, because they might land differently in your body. And, well, this podcast is called Wealth Embodied because this is about embodiment, meaning the connection to, the awareness of your body. So we want to feel those feels. We want to recognize how the word wealth lands differently than the word money does. And how does a title, Can God and Wealth Coexist, land in your body? Or a title, Can God and Money Coexist in Your Body? And just take a nice deep breath. We're just playing in the frequency of curiosity. So back when I really started my spiritual awakening, I had my spontaneous Kundalini awakening very much at the beginning of my quote unquote conscious spiritual journey. I had actually, when I look back, you know, been on a spiritual journey my whole life. But very early on into my, okay, I'm going to sit and meditate and, you know, awaken myself journey, I had a spontaneous Kundalini awakening. And shortly after that, I found myself in duality, basically. In this one perspective of God creation, where I would go into meditation and I would just dissolve into the ineffable. And I would feel it. I would feel the pure expression of existence. I exist. And I would experience it as enough that to recognize that I exist was enough. And then I had a business. And my business with people was not a choice I consciously made in my human self. It was a choice of my higher mind. I was working with animals and I was directed to start working with people. So my business wasn't coming from some place of like, I want to be this big star or anything like that. It was really coming from, I wanted to work with the animals, and then I was sideswiped into working with people. And that sounds a little bit as if I don't appreciate it, but I do. And I've come to deeply love working with people. But I say that because I didn't enter business going, okay, I'm going to be this, you know, spiritual guru, and I'm going to make all this money and I'm going to be successful. And yet, when I entered the realm of business and entrepreneurship, I could feel the potentiality there. This was my third business. I had a business working with animals, and many years ago, I had a baking business, a healthy baking business. And this was the first one that I really felt like, wow, there's no limits. So when I'm helping people connect to their limitlessness, I myself will be expanding my own limit. And, you know, that's very beautiful, very profound to journey in this space of entrepreneurship as being able to expand our own limits and simultaneously help others expand theirs. And there was also a reality that came with all of this. At this point, I had gone through a divorce and I was a single mother. And so my business needed to pay the bills. So I found myself at this crux, I'll call it. You know, I used to be a rock climber. And in rock climbing, the hardest point of the climb is called the crux. If that's right at the top or if that's, you know, in the middle, it doesn't matter. It's just the point that requires the most skill to get past. And this has been my crux of life, literally. And I've spoken about this before. I would have one side pulling me into, I am all that I ever need. I am pure love. I am isness, beingness, creation. And then this other side pulling me into, I want to create and experience wealth. I want to create and experience luxury because I know that that is possible for me. And that desire was not coming from my ego. I'm not arrogantly stating or naively stating that my ego wasn't involved, because it was. But the essence of the desire for wealth is actually very much who I am in this reality. It's my destiny, so to speak. And it was coming from within. And, you know, this entire conversation of can God and money coexist? Because at this time in 2018, there was a lot of conversation. This is before the online boom of mentors and coaches. And there was a lot of conversation of like, you shouldn't charge for spiritual teachings. That's wrong. And I didn't have a level of conviction in all of this yet. And so I questioned myself, is it wrong to charge to help others realize themselves as creators? Is it wrong to charge a lot of money? Is it wrong to charge money at all? Is it wrong to become wealthy through that modality or industry. And the question arises right now, if I didn't have any bills to pay, would I just have given my work away for free? And I'll answer that question with yes. But not because I believed that that's what needed to happen. I would have done it to escape the feeling of unworthiness. And the truth is that I wouldn't have escaped it. You cannot escape it if you believe it. And I did. I believed it. But to charge, to outwardly charge, and particularly higher ticket amounts for spiritual teaching requires you to get really clear on what do you believe? What do you value? And what is your worth? So I went back and forth with this, back and forth with this. My true heart's desire of creating wealth would arise and I would think, okay, I can do this. Like this is just another thing to create, like everything else I've created in my life very successfully. And then my unworthiness would come in. And my unworthiness would tell me that that's shameful, that it's shameful to charge money for spiritual teachings. And I would step back and I would give away and overgive and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And as I've mentioned before, I had multiple six figures in the bank account, six figure business, and then all of it was dissolved. My money was stolen. My business collapsed. And it's the greatest teaching of my whole life. And that happened in 2021, and I'm still wrapping up those lessons. Pretty much wrapped up, but I'm not going to make that claim. I've learned better. And in those moments where I had nothing, right? In those moments where I actually was in debt, I was taken straight to the shame. Shame, I've spoken about before, is diabolical. It's the closest emotion to death. When you are in the frequency of shame, or when shame exists in your subconscious mind, when you have perceptions that you are shameful, even if you're not feeling it, which is a large quantity of the population, by the way, because shame is so painful that we tend to numb it out and we disassociate. We disassociate from it so that we don't have to feel that it's diabolical. The shame around money, the shame around wealth. And the Great Mother took me into it and she showed me the shame I held around money, the shame I held around sex, the shame I held around power. And strip me of all of it. And I know I've told this story 100 times, but I bring it into this space because I really went to the depths of my own being. And I really went there from a true desire to understand in my heart, can God and wealth coexist? And what I was taught by the Great Mother and what I ended up embodying is that, of course, it's not separate because nothing. This is so hard for humanity to accept. Nothing exists outside of God. Now, it doesn't make, you know, all actions loving. There are plenty of actions, as we all know, that are deeply painful and hurtful and all the things. So not all of our actions as humans and as beings serve love. They don't all serve source, creation, God. They're often selfish. And true selfishness, not love of self first and foremost, which is a misunderstanding there. But wealth and money do not exist outside of creation. And you have the choice. You can experience wealth literally as greed and as the devil and as something that doesn't exist with God. And you create a lot of suffering for yourself. Because we live in a world where money is very much a part of our reality. And now every time you are engaging, you are exchanging with money, you are shaming yourself, whether that's conscious or subconscious. And you're subconsciously pushing it out of your space and you're subconsciously denying it. And that is all through a choice of perception. How you are choosing to perceive money, which is rooted in shame. We perceive money as greedy, evil, wrong, you know, the root of hell, because we feel shame around it. But money itself, and I've had several conversations with money, and I've had a lot of conversations, more than I could ever count, with the Great Mother about money. It's not evil. And in fact, it was not even created to do harm. It's not even created to do harm. That was not why it was created. Instead, like a gun. I'm not saying guns are good or bad or anything. I'm not. But a gun was created to inflict pain. Money was not. That was not the original reason for creating money. The original reason was creating for money was for exchange of resource, was for wealth, the experience of wealth, period. Now, humans have in our entrapment in the matrix, in our entrapment in duality, in our belief of separation from God, and thus our deep-seated shame, have created immense greed and suffering through money. But that's not where why money was created. So that in and of itself already should kind of give you pause, because money in itself is just simply meant to exchange in the representation of resource. So you have the option. Do you receive money as love, or do you receive it as a necessary evil? Do you give money as love, or do you give money as a necessary evil? I, for one, do not desire to be circulating the frequency of necessary evil, the frequency of greed, the frequency of it comes from Satan, the frequency of shame. No, thank you. I do not want to circulate those frequencies. And I don't actually believe that anybody does. They just don't understand wealth, circulation, creation. In the essence of creation, you have a trinity: feminine, masculine, child. The feminine is the receiving, the masculine is the doing or giving, and the child is the being. This is 100% the expression, the fundamental expression of flow. You receive flow, you are flow, you give flow, You create from flow. Wealth. You receive money, you give money, spend money, you hold, invest money. Love. You receive love, you are love, you give love. And everything else that we exchange, fundamental energy. Energy, creative life force energy. Creative life force, the literal energy of creation. Energy of creation. So, can God and money coexist in harmony, in love, in co-collaboration? Absolutely. And I actually believe, through the conversation I've just laid out, that money is an extraordinary tool, resource, as is wealth. Because the one who is well resourced, we all know this, has a lot of choice, a lot of option, a lot of power. And I'm not just speaking to money, I'm speaking to wealth. The person who has the connections, who has the support, who has the love, who has, you know, the money, who has the opportunity, who has the ability to speak and to present and bring themselves forward, has a lot of choice and opportunity in physical reality. That's just simply truth. Doesn't mean that you need to be rich to be opportunistic. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying wealthy, and wealth comes through resource. Some people have created entire empires simply through networking, relationship. They didn't have any money to start off with. They started off with relationship and built their empire off of that. That's resource. So understanding that those who are well resourced can really serve from the highest form, from a state of devotion. We can impact the world. You know, it hasn't been our experience. Our experience has been that those who have been well resourced have not been heart-centered, embodied, serving God, oneness, source, creation. They've been serving themselves. And so that's what we have created all of our perspectives off of. But that stops now. Because if we want to create a new reality, if we want to create a new world, we have to break those patterns. And to break those patterns of how we have our relationship to money, can you see money? Can you see wealth as love, as aliveness, as nourishment, nurture, source energy, creative life force, creation? And what changes in your life as you do that? To me, when I moved out of experiencing money as this thing that was defining me as shameful, into love, all of a sudden, I held so much more gratitude for the money that was coming in. Because it was love. It felt good. Versus, I should be ashamed of myself for receiving this money. That doesn't feel good. That's diabolical. Ah, this is so nourishing, anabolical, life giving. Just simply through a change of your perspective. That's all it takes. And of course, there's often more than that. Because, I mean, I went through 2 solid years. And I mean 2 solid years of every single day, dark night of the soul, facing my shadows in relationship to this conversation. That's not everybody's role. I had a lot of karma in this area. So I had to face that karma. But I'm just saying, we have to get to the root, like the wart, you know, you can't just slice off the top of the wart. You have to get down to the root of it, where the shame exists in your body, in your subconscious mind, and in your ancestral lineages. Shame that's given to you that you don't even know you carry, and that tell you that you're unworthy of God's love. And therefore, you're unworthy of everything. You're unworthy of love. You're unworthy of money. And some people are able to force their way through success from a place of unworthiness, but it's like building the house on very unstable stilts. So you can force wealth, but it's not inexhaustible wealth. It's exhaustible wealth. It's you pushing the boulder up the mountain. Don't you dare stop, because the boulder will just crush you. That's building wealth from force. Instead, when we not even build wealth, we just simply recognize through unity with God, through the divine trinity of creation, the emergence back in with your soul, that you are wealth, that you are worth, and therefore you create it. That can't be taken from you, because there's nothing to take. Doesn't matter if you get sick. It doesn't matter if your business collapses. Doesn't matter if the entire infrastructure of financial systems break apart. You are wealth. And that's where God coexists with wealth, because God is wealth. Wealth is God. They are not separate. So not only do they coexist, they are literally one and of the same thing. But humanity has been creating wealth in a state of duality, in a state of force. And so it doesn't feel godly. It doesn't feel all-encompassing. It doesn't feel unified. It doesn't feel inexhaustible. It feels sketchy. It feels, again, shameful. It feels like you could lose it. So the more money you have now, the more money you have to protect, the more money you have to fear losing. And how does that drive humanity? So absolutely can coexist. And like I said, it actually is the same thing. And this is deep work. This is really deep work. And this is what I stand for. And whatever part of this conversation you can receive is delicious. Because it might challenge you, might challenge your belief structures, it might challenge the part of you that thinks it knows how to create wealth. That's what it did for me. I was creating wealth. So before I probably would have listened to this type of conversation and kind of shrugged my shoulders and been like, yeah, that's true. So what? Because I was actually would have been protecting the part of me that says, that sounds great. But I know in life that you actually have to hustle, that life is really hard. There's no rest for the wicked. You have to push the boulder up the frickin' hill. That's what I know to be true. And that part of me wouldn't have let me receive what this conversation really stands for. So do you have a protector within you that perhaps is agreeing to what I'm saying or not even agreeing? Maybe it's just full right, that's wrong, and that's okay. But does that protector still serve you? What is your relationship with wealth? What is your relationship to God, source, creation? Do you actually deeply believe without a smidgen of doubt that you are innately worthy of everything that you desire? Everything that you desire. Relationship, love, intimacy, communion, wealth, money, success. Or is there a little part of you that just feels like there's a snag? Not really believing it. The part of you that still believes that you have to perform, you have to do in order to get, that worthiness and value come from action. Well, sure, you're worthy as long as you do. And as long as that doing is at a certain level of performance, then you're worthy. But that's not innate worthiness. Innate worthiness has nothing to do with doing, has nothing to do with receiving. Innate worthiness is being. It's the child, and it exists no matter what the experience of your humanness in this life is. Is that what you feel? Is that your truth yet? Because it is your truth. And from there, from that point of the realization that you are worthy no matter what, now you are experiencing God as wealth and wealth as God. Beyond co-creation, because it exists beyond duality, you are now in unity consciousness, oneness, beingness, existence, the part of creation that never changes, never dies, never is born. It simply exists. And this is something I can help you with. If you are triggered here, if you hear this and you recognize where you are falling short in these beliefs, because your life doesn't lie. Reality is a mirror, and it is a crystal clear mirror, and we can try to don on the costumes, and we can try not to look in the mirror, and we can try to pretend all we want, but the mirror will always reflect what we actually believe. So what is that reflection for you in the context of wealth as God? Quite the question. And I'll leave you at that. I love you all very much. Until next time.
Thank you for being a part of Wealth Embodied. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your innate abundance and living your life wealthy and aligned. If you want to be invited to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.